floods than they have in southern Minnesota. That was a flash flood. We have floods that we know about 2 weeks in advance. And so there's a flurry of activity for 2 weeks. But the Minnesota legislature has been very good to northwestern Minnesota when they've had their disasters, and we're doing a lot to prevent it in the future. And now, of course, we all heard about Wadena with the tornado. I called Senator Scogin that night and asked how things were. I guess the good news there was, as horrible as it was, nobody was killed, and that was somewhat miraculous. And so we will be hearing from Senator Ann Lynch, who's the author of the bill, and I'd like to have Senator Scogin just kind of mention the tornado disaster and how they're coming with it. I do have to announce, too, if Senator Jungbauer wants to talk, I'm not going to recognize him. I got to save him from himself. Okay, there's this little story behind that. Okay, Senator Lynch.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. We are bringing you this disaster relief package, which we expect later today will become Senate File 1. I will go, there are three articles in the bill. I will go through Article 1 and Article 3, and Senator Scogin is going to walk you through Article 2 when we get to it. The Article 1 has to do with this most recent federal declaration concerning the flooding in southern Minnesota. Article 2 has to do with another disaster declaration that Minnesota faced, which we refer to as Wadena. And Article 3 talks about funding of this bill. I think that it might be helpful as we go through this for you to keep two things in mind. One, this bill mirrors the flood relief bill from 2007, very much so. There was some work done after 2007 to put a lot of disaster recovery language into statute that's in 12A. And so we used both the 07 bill and statute 12A as the basis for putting this bill together. I'd also like you to remember that as we talk about this in terms of southern Minnesota and in terms of the Wadena area, that within those two federal disaster areas, there are a number of areas that are included. And in this first area, in the Article 1 in the Flood Disaster Declaration, these provisions in the bill are applicable to Senator Kevin Dahl, Erickson Ropes, Fredrickson, Kubley, Murphy, Perry, Rosen, Senjum, Sharon, Sparks, and Vickerman. Very widespread in the Article 2 in the Wadena section. Senator Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fredrickson, Perry, Rosen, Senjum, Sharon, Skoy, Scogin, Sparks, and Stump. And so I just think that's helpful to put into perspective the vastness of what we're talking about. If you refer to the bill on page 2, at the top of page 2, you'll see the total cost of this bill and how the bill is structured, with about $32 million in general fund, $26 million in bond proceeds, trunk highway fund, and state transportation fund. Working our way through the bill, Section 3 is the section on public safety. I'll point out to you the spots specifically throughout the bill that have bond proceeds that might be particular interest to this committee. On 2.27, there's a $2 million appropriation for the state and local match. This is for publicly owned capital improvement projects. And again, these projects will receive 75% of the funding from FEMA, and we are responsible for the 25%. Section 4, line 3.8, is transportation, $15 million. There's $5 million from Trunk Highway, $10 million transportation. You can see that that's broken down to provide for infrastructure, maintenance, local roads, and bridge replacement. I'd like to call your attention to lines 3.3 and 3.31. I call this fondly the Senator Murphy provision. One of the things I mentioned, we tried to put this bill together based on largely on 2007 and that newly created statute 12A. One of the things that we learned from 2007 was that there are some projects that still are not completed, and in fact there are some communities that have found it it is a long road to recovery. And in here on 3.3 we included the cost for necessary demolition and design costs, and we think that that is going, based on our experience particularly from 07, that is going to enable some of those communities to move forward in the, with their projects in a more expedited fashion. We think that's good to get them on that road to recovery. Page 4, Section 5 of the bill, Employment and Economic Development. There's $10 million to the Minnesota Investment Fund, and that will be to support economic development activities in those affected communities. Section 6 is your public facilities authority. There was a tremendous amount of infrastructure damage throughout southern Minnesota. This will provide fundings for PFA, specifically water and sewer infrastructure. Section 7 of the bill, lines 4.22, housing finance. There's $4 million there for the Quick Start loan programs. This might be an appropriate time just to mention, you may have heard in the media that while we did receive our FEMA declaration, we were not eligible for individual assistance to those homeowners. We discussed that quite a bit in the earlier finance division meeting, but this will provide this $4 million in part will provide some low-interest loans to individual homeowners. Line 5.18 is the provision for the Minnesota Historical Society. Section 9 is the Department of Natural Resources. There's a bonding amount on 5.34 for facilities, flood hazard mitigation grants, flood response and recovery. A change from 2007 in this bill is on 6.2, which has to do with dam renovation and renewal. There's a large dam in the city of Orinoco. The situation there is that the dam was demolished. The bridge that is above the dam, the approach on either side of that bridge, both of them have fallen. So this is a tremendous need for the city of Orinoco and Olmsted County. 6.30 is the Boards of Water and Soil Resources. There's a $3 million general fund appropriation, $10 million bonding appropriation. The $10 million, Mr. Chair, is for RIM. I will point out that the RIM appropriation is limited to the disaster recovery area, the federal disaster designated area, 1941. The other, there's two other unique things perhaps about this provision. Up to 10% of the appropriation may be used by the board for eligible capital costs to implement the program. That is in fitting with what we have done previously in this area. And I would also point out that Chris Idy from Emergency Management has apprised us that making this investment in RIM now, because we are limiting this to those federal disaster areas, does provide in some instances a greater match than would otherwise or normally would be realized. Line 8.15 is the agricultural section, $4 million. That's the agency request to assist with agriculture in those areas. Section 12, line 8.2, is the education section of the bill. There are four sections there, the enrollment aid impact, the disaster relief facilities grants, the operating grants, and the pupil transportation aid. Those are all familiar to us in that similar assistance was provided in 07 to the communities whose school districts were adversely affected. Section 13 of the bill, line 9.13, is an appropriation to the Department of Health to provide for some public health activities in the affected areas. Section 14 of the bill is the Pollution Control Agency. This merely points out for us that there's a direct appropriation from the Petroleum Tank Release Cleanup Fund for flood damage, and we are simply recognizing that there's a statutory appropriation for that purpose. Section 15 has to do with your bond sale expenses. And we'll move ahead to Section 18, which is 13.3. Has to do with the city replacement aid. This is going to help the cities who are experiencing some net tax capacity loss. Again, that's in following with work that was completed and precedent that was set in 07. Section 19 waives property tax penalties for businesses and damaged properties. Section 20 provides an extension for some agricultural homestead in the affected areas. Section 21, abatement and credit applications waived. Mr. Chair, that's a quick run through of Article 1. Again, Article 1 focuses on this most recent federal declaration, which had to do with the flooding in southeastern Minnesota. And Mr. Chair, that brings us to Article 2, which we refer to as the Wadena tornado. As I indicated, it does encompass a larger area than just Wadena, but I would like to ask Senator Scogin to walk the committee through that section of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Lynch. Mr. Chair, members, Article number 2, which starts on page 15, and it talks about the Wadena tornado relief and planning money. Just a brief history for you. On June 17th, a tornado, severe thunderstorm, started down in the Albert Lea area, moved up through central Minnesota, and exited the state up in the Mentor area, where Senator Stumpf serves. We lost life in Elmora, just southwest of Wadena. A woman was killed there, and then a man was killed at a convenience store up in Mentor as the storm came to a close. Fortunately, in the immediate Wadena area, there were no loss of life. However, we had two F4 tornadoes on the ground at one time and as many as seven funnel clouds sighted by radar or the public over about an hour and a half period of time. We had a F4 on the ground 6 miles west of Wadena that sheared off five farmsteads and took out close to 100 residents. It got into Wadena, the second F4, into two of our residential areas, and then as it moved through between the residential areas, it took out our public swimming pool, took out the high school, took the infrastructure off the top of our M-State Technical College, took the bus garage, the community center, the ice arena, moved into the fairgrounds, and eliminated everything that was in the fairgrounds as well. In fact, that day, FEMA covered infrastructure, public infrastructure damage border to border was about $35 million. In Wadena, it was $32 million of that. So that's where the storm tracked. Since that time, we have been on a rebuilding process. Wadena is a community of about just over 4,000 people. But as you know, when we lose the high school, the community center, the ice arena, the school bus garage, and that stuff, there is an opportunity, as this stuff was put together a piece at a time, to do some rebuilding and maybe make it more functional. And I was in the process of preparing some stuff for January and February. And when the floods occurred and a special session was going to be called, I sent a letter to Senate leadership asking if it would be appropriate for me to come with some of our plans now and start that process. They said it was, and so I want to thank you for the opportunity to do some of this now, some of the preliminary work. The school has a piece in here. The school is planning to start its rebuild in March of 2011. Right now we're putting our high school students in part of the tech school. We are putting our junior high students in the old Deer Creek Elementary School, and then we do have offices as well as our elementary school that was untouched by the tornado that we're still using as well. However, the school building itself was pretty well insured. We certainly didn't anticipate rolling 17 of our buses into a pile at one time and some things like that. So we have, you'll see some pieces in here of the $6.6 million for some transportation pieces, as well as some in-house stuff. The school is in the process of leasing from the tech school some classroom space, and they just need some cash flow to help them move through the process. And then we really have an opportunity in Wadena now to do some collaboration between the city, the community center, the hospital wants to be involved in this process, and rather than put these four or five public pieces back together the way they were, we would like to do some collaboration between state, local, and private funds. And we need some planning money to see if what the right size is, if we can land this thing in or near the footprint of the new high school, share some infrastructure, some cooling, some heating, some parking. And we just need to make sure that we size it right for the community and for the region. And that's why the request here today is to get some planning money so then we can move forward from there and come back and see if we can get this thing put together. That is what it is in a nutshell. I have a host of folks here today from the Wadena. Mayor Wayne Walden's here, our city administrator Brad Swenson, Wellness Center Chair John Paulson, Tri-County Healthcare CEO Joel Beischwanger, also Wadena Deer Creek School Board Chair Ann Pate is here, and Wadena 2.0 Chair Don Niles. So, Mr. Chair, I don't know how far out in the weeds you want to get. Until we have a plan in place, we really don't know what else we're going to be doing. But the request here is to help the school short-term and then to put a plan in place.
Yeah, we'll go through the bill, and then if there's any questions that you'd like referred to, any of the people you mentioned, why... feel free to do that.
In Article 2, then, Mr. Chair, Sections 1 and 2 talk about the $6.6 million, the public safety, the employment and economic development, which is the study money, and the piece for the school at about $693,000. And those are identified more closely and under statute in Sections 3, 4, and 5. And then, of course, the bond sale authorization for the planning money to make sure that we build a facility that is appropriate and in collaboration with the other partners that are going to be involved in Wadena. You know, the governor was in town twice after the storm, and both times said that the state has a clear history of not abandoning these communities when these kinds of things happen, and we appreciate the support that he's given us, and I appreciate the ability or the opportunity to bring that before this special session.
Thank you. Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And continuing on with Article 3 of the bill, that's on 17.21. And this is where we discuss the cash flow and how we're paying for this bill. And Section 1 and 2 recognizes the federal FMAP money, the federal medical assistance percentage that Minnesota is going to be receiving. And the net effect of that is that this increased federal participation reduces the need for the state appropriation, and that's reflected in Sections 1 and 2, and that affects both the general fund and the healthcare access fund. Section 3 of the bill, and I'd like to stress here, this bill was compilation of, I think, four pretty good days of working with both bodies and the governor's office. A number of members in a very bipartisan fashion pulled this together. And Section 3 of the bill provides that if the forecast shows a negative balance, then the value of the general fund appropriation in this bill is canceled from the cash flow account to the general fund. And that provides assurance that this bill will not contribute to the budget becoming unbalanced. Section 4 of the bill provides, makes accommodation, again, for receipt of that federal FMAP money, and I would suggest that Section 4 is a conformity piece that makes sure that the federal law is consistent with what our state law provides. So, Mr. Chair, I think that gives you a run-through of the bill. I will. Senator Scogin talked about the devastating effect in the area of Wadena. I will say just briefly, I visited the city of Zumbro Falls. The mayor of Zumbro Falls, Al Vandewalker, is with us here today as well. A couple of things that I would tell you about the city of Zumbro Falls. One, when I arrived there, I could see the water line. If you can imagine, in their fire hall, the water was well over my head as I stood in the fire hall. And these were the volunteer firefighters and emergency responders that were responsible for helping the residents of that community. So I think that gives you an idea of the magnitude of the devastation that they experienced. And in the city of Zumbro Falls, they have 20-some businesses in their community. All were damaged, and some of them beyond repair. And so on behalf of all of the communities in southern Minnesota that were affected by this most recent federal declaration, I thank you for your time and attention this morning.
Thank you, Senator Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Lynch, could you go back to Article 3, Section 2? And I don't understand these amounts that are being taken from health care grants. And I'm just wondering, does that mean that there are some services that won't be provided or what?
Chair, Senator Pretner Solon, I'm going to ask Mr. Mossman to join me at the table, but Senator Pretner Solon, a way to think about this is that because of the opportunity that we are realizing because of an increased FMAP monies coming to us from the federal government, that in essence frees up some of our state obligations. And so it's not the case that we are making additional cuts in those areas or that services won't be rendered. But Mr. Mossman can provide some further support.
Ms. Chair and members, Matt Mossman, Senate Fiscal Staff. Senator Pretner Solon, if you look as well at Section 5 of the same article, there's repealer language. And so the language in Section 2 is, so we passed similar contingent language to this during the last special session to accommodate the possibility that we would get an increased or extended FMAP rate, but the amount of the extension has changed since the first special session. And so Section 5 repeals the numbers that we did contingently in the first special session and replaces them with these numbers, which more accurately reflect the amount of additional FMAP that we're going to get. And therefore, as Senator Lynch indicated, the reductions in the state appropriations, there will be no change to service levels.
Senator Solon.
Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure who did, probably Mr. Mossman. I understand that FEMA is likely to come in with 75%, is that correct, of the cost to some of the reconstruction, I guess. And I'm wondering, is that accounted for in here, or will that be reduced from this?
Mr. Chair and members, Senator Pretner Solon, this is All of Article 3 really is unrelated to the flood relief in that regard. This article has to do only with a state law change that we needed to make in order to be compliant with federal law so that we could receive the FMAP dollars without having our laws in contradiction to federal law. And this just accommodates our ability to receive those monies.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Prentner-Solon, if I could, throughout the bill, and I'll take you maybe back to page 2, where the monies are summarized for you, but throughout the bill, the figures in the bill reflect the 25% match, if you will. And it is true on the public portions that FEMA will cover 75% of those expenditures. And so the 25% is what you see reflected in this bill. And I'll just emphasize again that that's for the public portions, public buildings, and the public infrastructure. To be clear, in this latest declaration, we did not receive individual assistance from FEMA. And so I think that's an important distinguishing factor. Many of you have, your districts are a part of this declaration. And so do understand that while FEMA didn't provide individual assistance, there will be some assistance available through the Small Business Administration that basically provides some low-interest loans to individual residents. I'll just state for the record, this is probably one of the areas that is most contentious and, frankly, most heartbreaking. But there are three SBA assistance centers that are being set up, one in Truman, one in Owatonna, and one in Mazeppa. And so to constituents, I would encourage you to apprise them of that, and they can help them work through the process and the necessary paperwork.
Senator Berglund.
Them to send us this FMAP money. My letters were in regard to the next budget deficit that we would face. And now, of course, we need to do this bill, and so these monies will not be available to help us with our next budget deficit. But I would just point out to members of this committee, not everyone in the Minnesota delegation supported sending us these FMAP dollars. And now, see how desperately they are needed.
Mm. Any further questions or comments, Senator St. John?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to whoever wants to answer this, I guess I wasn't aware walking in here today that the Wadena portion really covered a larger geographical area. I probably should have known, but it sounded like an area that would cover Southern Minnesota as well, and I heard the names Sparks and myself and so on. So if that is the case, are there any features of the language within the Wadena section that would be of any assistance to our communities or people in our communities? I think Senator Rosen was also mentioned. Is there some relief there for people that did incur loss?
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, to begin with, let me just list the counties for clarity, and then Senator Scogin will answer the second part of your question. Polk County, Ottertail, Wadena, Sibley, Brown, Nicolet, Blue Earth, Faribault, Freeborn, Still, and Olmsted are the counties that are part of that disaster declaration that has to do with the Wadena area, or that we refer to as the Wadena area.
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, like the flood, we did not meet criteria for private help from FEMA either. So of the, you know, I mentioned the $32 million in the Wadena area, but it was a $35 million FEMA storm. And so those other counties that Senator Lynch mentioned also eligible to tap into that to $5.2 million of state and local match money to help them cover the 25% that FEMA is not covering.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, if there were public losses as a result of a tornado in Blue Earth County or wherever, that would be part of this package.
This is part of that package as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any further comments or questions? Okay, we're on our way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Nothing else we need. Okay, meeting adjourned.
Oh, wow. We have a lot more questions. And no, we don't. It's not an official bill until we go into session. I was just surprised because we had a lot of questions. Did you mind this?
Staying very good.
Well, you're looking at the wrong now.
How's your campaigning going?
That was a bad deal.
Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You got the one where, yeah.
He asked me about that.
It's almost got to be...
I mean, that's exactly what we're doing. We're
aren't you Devin? You guys been sucking your shit for my 12 years.
That we can
I know, I know.
There's a sticker.